Blog Talk Radio.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. Help us see there is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthem.
Preparation training for ordination and consecration. This is Thursday, June 15th, and we are preparing ourselves on this session to hear from our Bishop Nathaniel Isaac as it relates to the office of the pastor. We will be hearing from Dr. Elder Arlette Parker, preparing us for our consecration, as well as listening to our presenters, who this week will be for the question of this week, will be Minister Katie Smith and Evangelist Janice Poole. And that question for this week is, spiritually support or refute this statement: I can teach on topics that I have no personal experience with. They will be bringing us that presentation, and we will be hearing from our presenters as we look at the element of accountability partners. And this week's topic is active listeners. Our presenters will be Takika Christian and Pastor Bethel Williams. So everybody get prepared, get your pencils, your notebooks out, get your 2017 schedule out so you can make any notes that you need to on there as we give you more information concerning your ordination consecration. So we want to open with prayer. So is Elder Winslow on the line? You're all live. You just have to take your phones off mute in order to communicate and with the session. And we do ask that if you're not communicating, that you keep your phone on mute so as we do not pick up a lot of the background activity in your location of listening. So do we have Elder Winslow? Okay. Well, we will ask one of our male candidates to open us up in prayer. It is the position of this ministry that prayer be given in opening sessions by the males because of God's position with the male over, amen, amen, amen. And so we want to acknowledge that. It is all part of our spiritual growth and development so that we are in harmony with the word and the will of God. So, if I can have a gentleman open us up in prayer, you may do so now. Elder Parker? Okay. We know y'all guys are on the line. Can you take your phone off of mute? And share with us, opening us up in prayer. Or else we'll just have you talk with you. So, Father, we do bless you. We honor you for these vessels that you have hand chosen and anointed and appointed for such a time as this. We bless you for the unique, distinct anointing and graces that are upon their life. We pray that as conduits, we will be good stewards over them, over the molding and directing, and even in the impartation. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us the wisdom to know how to go forward, to become that which is needed in their process. We pray, Lord God, for the graces that are upon them, Lord God, that your Spirit would manifest himself in such a way in their lives that they would come to know and understand and value not just the gift and the anointing and the calling, but they would come to value you, the giver of the gift, the anointing, and the calling. Father, we bless you. I pray, Lord God, that every experience that they have would solidify their place and their posture in you. May we become anointed in the area of prayer. May we become anointed in the area of Christian discipleship so that we would more accurately reflect your presence in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen and amen.
And we do apologize to Bishop, who was on the line, but his phone was not on, was on mute here at the headquarters center. So I do apologize to you, Bishop. Please forgive me. Amen. Amen.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Just don't want nobody getting mad saying no men was on the line. We was on the line. So it's
amen.
All good.
Amen. I also see that Elder Parker was on the line. His phone dropped, but then he got on the line. And he as well was not put on speaker. So I apologize to Elder Parker as well. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. And Apostle accepts our apology for putting her on the spot. But she is covering us, and we thank God for that apostolic covering.
Amen. And we love you, Apostle.
Amen.
We love
Amen.
You, Apostle. Thank you.
And she hollers, she loves us as well. Praise the Lord. So we do want to get started this evening. And we want to start with our presenters with the question of the day. I would like to share with you first, before our presenters start, with just some information that as we study, we glean and we like to share with individuals to continue to broaden and clarify this process for you and the support and the spiritual source and foundation of it. As you are presenting, as that you all will be presenting the gospel, and you will be inspired all by the same Holy Spirit. However, just as with the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three writers, they had different personalities, and they were writing to people who were different in background and in need. And so each writer, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, selected from the teachings of Jesus what they watched Christ do and say, and that which they needed to present to their prospective readers was different. That's that idea that 10 people can see an accident and you can get 10 different perspectives of it. None of them are wrong. They are just from a different perspective. And God uses men and women with different personalities and gifts to reach certain kinds of people. We look at eloquent Luke. He was commissioned to write to the philosophical Greeks. They were educated, and they were men of learning and learned and who sought facts and truths. And then Matthew, who was a Levite, he ministered to the Jewish world. And then explosive Peter, with his aggressive personality and his spontaneous actions of strength and fighting, he ministered through the writing of John Mark to the aggressive Romans. So God will also prepare you and send you to a people of his choosing. God knows and he understands each of our lies. He understands us intimately. He has been intricately involved in our preparation and bringing us to this place. He knows precisely which people we can minister to the most effectively. And we might think that we know the ones that to whom we best identify with, but God may have another plan for our life. So we want you to be open to the ministry of Holy Spirit, and you will be able to reach the people that other people cannot, as long as you allow the Lord to direct you into the audience of your ministry. Others will be able to reach other people. We're not all sent always to minister to the same ones. You know, God will anoint us and flow through us in his own unique way. And just as he did with Matthew to the Jews and Mark to the Romans and Luke to the Greeks, we have to remember the word of the Lord was given to us in Psalms 47:4, and he says that he shall choose our inheritance for us. For it is God who will determine which people we minister to and claim our spiritual inheritance. And you can also look at Psalms 2 and 8 for that foundational truth, which is why we give you all of these forms, all of these assessments to dig out what God has in you. And hopefully, aside from what your concept or what your thoughts are of what you need to do, and we know you are some struggling with the mission and vision, and we ask you to just put it forth as Holy Spirit gives it to you, but don't be afraid to allow him to clarify it and adjust it to meet your destiny, because there is a people out there that you are destined to minister to. And so we want to start this this session off today with our presenters, Minister Katie Smith and Evangelist Janice Poole, with the question, spiritually support or refute, I'm so sorry, that this statement, I can teach on topics that I have no personal experience with. You two are up, and you have 5 to 10 minutes to bring that study home to us. Minister Katie, Evangelist Poole.
Okay, Evangelist Poole is here. Praise God.
Amen.
And once again, Overseer, I appreciate it, and I thank God for you, because that introduction really expressed the way I was feeling in my heart when I received this statement. But you covered it quite eloquently. Thank you so very much. Well, I chose to support that statement, and I do have scripture that I felt that supported. When we have received the divine touch of God through our life, we encounter God's intervention in our lives. He has chosen us to receive his spirit, which empowers us and gives us what we need to do what he wants us to do. As scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:21, now it is God who established and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit, which is what Paul's writing in Corinthians. Also, I used Isaiah 11:2, and this is from the Amplified version.
Amen.
All right, Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on you, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. This touch that we receive must bring forth, and it will bring forth, a change in our lives. We see things differently. We eventually stop saying, I can't do this, or I am afraid to do this, or I can't talk to strangers. We stop looking at our inabilities, and we start focusing on God's abilities and sufficiencies. As written in Scripture, our sufficiency is in God. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, I'll read. But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercies are more than enough, always available regardless of the situation. My power is being perfected and is complete and shows itself most effectively in our weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. Also in 2 Corinthians 3:5. Just a moment.
Not a problem.
Okay. Not that we are sufficiently qualified in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency and qualifications come from God. We tend to lean on our inabilities and forget just how much power God has given us through the Holy Spirit. Just as the Lord changed the eyes and sight of Paul, many times the scriptures, when God states touch someone, they receive strength, courage, wisdom, or direction as to which way they should go and what they should do. We tend to be afraid of what he has given us and have called us to do, and we should not try to lean on our own abilities, but realize the calling is holy and is precious and is given to us because he knows what we can do and what's within inside of us. In John 3:34, I shall read. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, generously, and boundlessly. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Philippians 4 and 3, indeed, I ask you to, my true companion, to help these women to keep on cooperating. I'm sorry, I must be reading the wrong thing. Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's the wrong one. I am so sorry about that. 2 Timothy 1:9. There was something in Philippians 4. I forgot why I wrote that down. Okay. He has saved us and has given us a holy calling. So there is nothing that we cannot do. If there's life, most of our callings, and most of us feel that our callings is from our experiences in life, and God has touched us, which he has in our journeys and in our travels. He has touched us, and he has anointed us and called us and chose us for his purpose and his purpose only. And we should just accept, which is Elder mentioned last week, we must be committed, we must be compassionate, and unafraid to step out on God's promises and release what it is inside of us that's keeping us from doing his will in our lives and in our calling. That's all I have for right now.
Amen.
But I do support that statement.
Amen. Apostle says she votes for your answer. And I pray that Apostle says she votes for your answer. Amen.
Oh, okay.
And so
okay.
I do, and I hope everybody can hear me, because I believe that what we've just experience is something we have to really develop in our ministry, and that is when we are in a place that we must answer a question that has been debated over the years, that has different theological and scholars' opinions to, we give them the word of God. And then you allow the word of God to develop your response to the questions that come into your life. So do we have any questions or comments about this topic, about this presentation? Any questions that you might have for Evangelist Poole? Your phones are live. Just take them off mute. Yeah, they really are live, all the way down to the bottom. Amen. Any questions or comments? And this is interactive. These are things that
she was very thorough.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Elder. Amen. And one of the things I want to share with the candidates that are listening, these questions that we're going to be answering each week are questions that were given to candidates in the past at their examination. So you may want to take notes, okay? And not that you're to remember, and it's over 100 questions that we've compiled over the years that accountability partners have submitted for their candidates to answer when they sit in the examination. That's going to take place for you guys on that Saturday morning, August 19th, at the Hilton Deerfield. And so it's these kinds of questions that you will hear. And so I want you to get a sense of comfort with them. And when you have to, you know, call off all of these scripture addresses, no, but you should know what the word says. And you may not be able to give us the address of it, but you definitely should give us the principle from it and based on your scriptural understanding of various areas. Any more questions or comments? I do want to share the fact that is Minister Katie on the line? We understand that our team is back from their pilgrimage to Bible Land. We praise God for them and for their return and for the anointing that they have to have received in such a place full of the history of the Word of God. So we will continue on today's session with our accountability presentation, and that is going to come from Sister Kika Christian and Pastor Bethel Williams. Hey, lady, I'm getting some text, but Pastor Williams, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. One second. All right, you may go for it.
Okay. Kika?
I believe she's had to.
So she's not on the line.
She's not. She went back. She had to go back and work. She is at work. She did send me her, you know, presentation, but we will let, she said she spoke with you, so you do it. Wish I know how to send it to you.
Got it. Okay. We were going to do something a little different for tonight's presentation, and that was to kind of do an interactive dialogue that will illustrate that particular scripture. So me and her, we're going to have a conversation relating to that scripture, being an active listener. I think she's probably texting me now. Okay, fine, not a problem. So I will just give a...
You?
I'm sorry?
I said, can we ad-lib with you? We can pretend like we know what we're talking about.
Okay, so what she was going to do was come up with a story or something where she was angry about something, somebody made her mad, and was going to talk to me about it, and then I will, based off of this scripture, give her scriptural advice on how to handle it and that kind of thing. So it was going to look similar like that.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to just kind of come at me with something, just shoot from the hip. We didn't rehearse it. It was just going to be strictly Holy Spirit led. So
just go.
Rock it
out. Oh, really, partner, I need you. I had a job thing at work.
Okay, accountability partner, I need you. I had a situation at work where they just pissed me off.
So I had a staff member who, you know, left for break and never returned and left her group undone. And then she reported that, she told me, and I got in trouble with HR, and I was just really upset and didn't know what to do.
Okay, so how did you handle it? Did you talk to her about it? How did you handle it? What did you do?
I did not. I was unable to handle it. I was too frustrated to talk to her.
Oh, okay.
So I just stormed out of the HR office and didn't deal with it anymore.
Okay. So how are you in your place of anger now? Where are you?
I'm still very angry because the bottom line is she still lied, and I have to address it on tomorrow with HR. The situation isn't over.
Okay. So here's your thing. Okay, go ahead. You got some more?
No, that's it.
No. Okay, cool. So I do. I understand your frustration. Nobody likes to be lied on, absolutely. But you, in yourself, get to a place where you're not so, you know, pissed off like that. The scripture tells us to be, you know, to be slow to speak. It tells us to be quick to hear. So we have to, if we can't hear what it is that they're saying, we have to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. A lot of times we get to a place where we don't even want to hear what they have to say. They have those triggers. I used to have a trigger. If somebody say something to me, you need to do this, I would completely shut down. I'm like, no, I don't need to do anything. But we have to be able to open ourselves up to hear what Holy Spirit is saying. What was the reason or purpose, or what is it that you're supposed to learn from it? The beginning of, if we go to James, that was the scripture that I just was telling you about. But if you go to the beginning of James, the first chapter, it talks about being joyful in tribulations, because it produces patience. It produces us to have patience. It increases our faith. So even in workplace situations, even when it's all seems like all hell and you is at the level of passivity, we have to get to a place where we just calm down in ourselves and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm supposed to be getting from this? I don't want to speak because I'm too mad, and the next thing that might come out of my mouth will not be righteous. It would not bring you glory. So what is it that I need to do and need to get to a place where I'm calm, where I'm cool, where I'm collected, and not go off, and be able to go in the next day and give information and talk to where it can bring a resolution. What's the resolution to this situation? And only Holy Spirit can do that. So my advice to you, when you can't listen to them, when you can't hear them, hear Holy Spirit. Hear God talking, and I know you can. I know you just get to a place. Sometimes we just need to, well, not sometimes, but all the time, get to a place where we put God as a forefront, as a forethought, and not as an afterthought. Because we'll get to where we just spew out whatever comes out of my mouth, and then we go back and be like, okay, God, I shouldn't have said that. And now he's an afterthought. So, no, let's reverse that and put him first. Okay, how do I handle this situation? How do I go back that would bring a resolution, or I can at least present myself in a way that will bring you glory? Everything that happens, even the trials, the tribulations, whatever come, it only comes to do one thing, and that is to produce patience and faith in you. So whatever happened, the question you ask, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn from this? How is this going to produce patience in me? How is it going to produce faith in me, or increase my faith, or bring forth endurance so that I can continue to go through it? Does that make sense?
Amen. Amen. I'm healed. Your accountability partner said, oh, I'm healed. Okay. Because it is help when we hear a voice of reasoning, when someone allows us to dump on them, and, you know, the baby may be crying and the dinner is burning and your husband wants mm-hmm. something and the doorbell's ringing and, you know, everything is going crazy, and your accountability partner calls you and she's going
right.
off, going off. So for you to remain calm and steady and just not really responding to their personality or even the situation other than giving them the Word of God. And that's a wonderful presentation. I can't imagine. I do, for Keika, I understand that she has a limited window she can present. I appreciate the two of you preparedness, and I do apologize that she wasn't able to share. But we will have her share at a later date. Are there any questions or comments?
Not a problem.
So we want you to be creative. We want you to see how this should be fun. This is ministry. Ministry is wonderful. It's enriching. It's empowering. And it is not just old drudgy work and oh my goodness. So we're going to see how creative our next group will be for next week, who will be bringing us wise counsel. And it's going to be coming from Proverbs 12 and 15, the element of wise counsel in the relationship of accountability partner. It will be brought to us by Minister Bailey, Mildred Bailey, and Pastor Linda Barnes. Mildred Bailey and Pastor Linda Barnes. And then our question for the week is going to be discuss with Scripture your biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement. Remember, these are questions that you get at your evaluation. Now let's see what team wants to volunteer for this question for next week. Do we have a team on the line?
Excuse me,
over
there.
Excuse me,
overseer, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that statement again?
Yes. Briefly, and this is with Scripture, discuss your biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, Apostle says that those that have been referred to for ordination by Pastor Dale Jones are the two that are going to bring this to us. So do you know your names? I know you do. Taitha and Kamisha. Taitha Winthrow and Kamisha, I know I'm murdering your guy's name. Barry.
Okay, Kaitha.
Kaitha, okay, Winthrow. And yes. Kamisha Barrett, along with your accountability partners, who are they? We get to hear y'all talk. Who's your accountability partner?
Apostle Olsen.
I'm sorry?
Apostle Overton.
And it was
that was Kaitha.
Kaitha, okay. Kamisha, who's your accountability partner? Is she on the line? Okay. So she nor her accountability partners on the line? That's interesting. But we will definitely get in contact with them and give them their assignment, and then we will hear from for the accountability wise counsel from Mr. Mildred Bailey and Pastor Linda Barnes. Okay, so now we will shift and place you into the hands of, first of all, we'll place you in the hands of Bishop, who is going to bring to us the office of pastor. Amen.
Amen. Am I clear, or is it muddled or staticky?
You're clear.
Is it clear? Oh, okay. I just want to make
yes.
sure.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, good evening, everyone. As once again, it's just an honor to be a part of you all's process. Any questions from last week? No. Let me just do what I was assigned to do. So we want to talk about pastors tonight, okay? And once again, we're looking at it from two perspectives. We're looking at it from the perspective of you serving in your local church, as well as serving and participating in the AEN. And so one thing we want to do is I want to encourage individuals to expand their mindset about pastoring. In the history of the church, what you typically saw is that a lot of denominations are afraid, I'm not going to say were, but are afraid to make individuals pastors or to ordain them as elders as well, because there was always that fear or stigma once a person was ordained and licensed, they could go out and start their own church, okay? And so what I want to do is want to revamp that. We want to debunk that type of thinking, and we want people to understand that according to Ephesians 4:11 and 12, that we want to be unified in the faith. And so we are one body, and we operate in a system, in a body, and the head of the church is the Lord. And so therefore, when you have pastors and leaders, we just want to understand the position, the calling, the anointing, the grace, and even the office, okay? And so we want to definitely start there. Now, I want to call it a stigma that you would typically hear, because I want to debunk those, is that pastors are not good administrators. Well, based off of the research, that may be true. But, however, it may need to look a little bit different based off of the position that a pastor is walking in when it comes to his office. So administration may not look like the elder who would stand in the position of a watchman looking, if I give you the analogy of being at a tower, looking at what's coming into the kingdom as well as what's going on in the kingdom. A pastor would be very specific to the flock that they are called, or the sheep that they are given. And so there is an area of concern that involves people that pastors are put over, or assemblies. Now, I'm not talking about being the pastor of so-and-so church on the hill, but I'm talking about there is a flock of individuals. There is a flock within the body of Christ that Christ has need of the pastor. The pastor does not operate outside of the fivefold. And so all pieces, all components are vital to the growth and the development of the body. Christ has this bride. And Christ does not give his bride just to any old body. And so therefore, because he doesn't give his bride just to anybody, he has special attendants that are to tend to the bride of Christ. And so you have the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. And so if the pastor can understand that the gift is to tend to a specific flock of individuals or people that's in their care. And so let me make this bold statement. We have to get out of the mindset that I love to do ministry, but I don't like working with the people. That automatically, if that comes out of your mouth and if that's in your heart, then you should question whether or not pastoring is really for you, because a pastor is going to walk very closely tending to this flock, which is why I said they're not good administrators, and the administration that they do will only be specific towards the needs that are necessary for that flock. And so when we hear pastors say, you know what, the pastor can't do everything, the pastor has to blah, 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 well, let me help you. You have to, if you are walking in the office of the pastor, and I'm bringing it from this perspective, then you tend administratively to the needs of whatever your people need. And so whatever the people that you have been given charge over, in that sense, you're going to administrate things so that needs are being met, so that healing are being met. So, and there are two in the Bible, if you have your Strong's Concordance, you can look up pastors, and there's a Hebrew definition, and there is as well as a Greek definition. One of the scriptures that we focus on, which I think is unique, is in Jeremiah, where God said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. And so here is God talking in the past, present, as well as the future. And therefore, we have to understand what's God's heart for his people. What is God's heart for the bride of Christ? What is God's heart when he is calling pastors to come forward to be able to minister to those, to this specific group of individuals, this specific need of his bride, and what's needed. And so a definition in the Hebrew for pastor, it is often used interchangeably with shepherd. And so it's to pasture, it's to tend, it's to graze, it's to feed, it's a ruler, it's a teacher, shepherd, it's a herdsman. It is to feed, it is to graze once again. It is also, interestingly, it is associated with being a friend, to be a special friend. And so when individuals say that they feel close to their pastor, and even though there's lines that have to be drawn out of safety, they're not wrong in when they're saying that, because people feel a special friend. Now, this is just because I'm talking about the pastor. That's not going to equate. It's going to equate very differently to those who are in the office of apostle, bishops, overseers, elder. It's going to equate. We're talking about pastors. And so let me make this statement as well. You can also have pastors who don't have to start a church, but they are still given rule, if you will, or they are overseeing a specific flock. Okay? And so that's the Hebrew definition of it. Let me give you the Greek definition. The Greek definition of a pastor would be a herdsman. A shepherd, he who cares and controls others, have committed themselves to these individuals, and those people who have committed themselves to that pastor, and precepts they follow. So if we are pastors after God's own heart, then we follow the Lord, and he instructs us. Therefore, the precepts that we are giving out is going to come from the Lord, and they'll follow you based off of how they follow Christ. They're also in the Greek, the pastor has the definition of being the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly. So of Christ, the head of the church, the overseers of Christian assemblies, also associated with kings and princes, and these of people. And so they are overseers over people's lives. They are gifts given to men so that you can perfect the saints, so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that you can edify the body. And so if a shepherd or I'm using interchangeably, a shepherd in the Near East was responsible for watching out enemies trying to attack the sheep. They would defend the sheep from attackers. They would also minister healing the wounds of sick sheep. They would be looking and saving lost or trapped sheep. They would be loving them. They would be sharing their lives just to earn their trust. And so a pastor is all about the people. You don't get out of that. They are all about the people, or they are all about Christ's bride. I want you to see this is, and I hate to use it this way, but please forgive me and don't take this out of context. It's like with my wife. Just anybody just can't attend to her, nor would I just put anybody to attend to her. Or if you have children, you're not just going to give your kids over to anybody to watch over them. You do your research, you do your homework, you're making sure that their record is clean. It's your heart is always to make sure that that person who you are given rule over or charge over is taken care of. You administrate things and so that they can be able to be edified. This is where you get perfecting of the saint. Perfecting means to furnish. And so you're going to furnish individuals with the things that they need. And so sometimes Christ's bride looks like a crack addict. And so a drug addict. And so there are certain things that you have to do that's going to be very associated. Christ's bride looks like someone who's been physically and sexually abused. You know, you just can't, you have to have tender gloves and hands with them. Christ's bride is very irritable and agitated and will reject any form of love and will curse you out. And you have to have God's heart in being able to minister to them and administrate things that the Lord shares with you that are necessary to bring the bride to a place so that when Christ, as he is presenting himself, his bride, and that's according to Ephesians. And so there's that act of listening, actively listening to the Holy Spirit, as well as actively listening to the bride to see the things that are necessary here where her heart is at, so that in prayer time, as you are standing as you're standing at the gate of the sheepfold. And so these were folds that were built by the pastor. So the pastor builds a sheepfold to put his sheep in, and the pastor lays his life down, or shepherd lays their life down at the gate. The Bible talks about David fought a bear and a lion. And according to those scriptures, he did this with his bare hands. And so you are really getting into protecting the lives of the individuals that you have charge over. And that's some of the concepts of the pastor. The pastor is really all about the bride. You cannot just love the ministry and not love people. You have to have a love for people. And if you don't have a love for people, then you'll fall in a category like a hireling, who can just come and go when they need. And that's not where God's heart is at. God is all about making sure that it is his desire, according to the book of Ezekiel, that no one dies, that all men will be saved, that everybody will give an opportunity to know who he is. And that's where your heart has to lie as the pastor. And so, you know, which is why we work intently with other gifts within the bodies of Christ so that everything is functioning well. And so even in your local church, you may not be recognized as a pastor within that assembly, but if you have the heart of a pastor, that should never stop you from allowing God to use you and be an assistant to the man or woman of God that you are under. And it doesn't mean you have to take over. It doesn't mean you have to leave the ministry and start your own. It just means you assist in a way that is necessary. You know, without people having to recognize who you are. People don't have to recognize you. God recognizes you. And when you do what your heart passion is, I promise you, people will see it. People don't have to be threatened by who you are. You just have to begin walking in the office. Study the office. Allow Christ to bring, allow Holy Spirit to bring situations that would challenge you in the office. So this is how your experience grows. This is how you become very active and alive and being able to tend to the needs of the sheep that are in your fold. And so, pastors, the last point I'm going to make with you guys is, I saw this video. We had just got back from Israel, and we were in the desert. And I saw this video on Facebook, which talked about, it really blessed my life as well, whoever sent it. But it talked about Psalms 23, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the gentleman I was presenting was saying that, but it's a desert. You know, there's no green pastures out there. And just being out there, I could, you know, confirm that. Like, yeah, so what pastures are the shepherds leading the sheep to? But what happened is, and this is how unique God is, God has a system for everything. You can find water in the desert because the wind, it blows the water molecules over the desert, and the rocks that are at the desert will trap the water molecules and begin to seep the water into the ground, and then what ends up coming up is green pastures or shoots or grass. And so the shepherd is wise to look for those things. Here's the administration, and lead the sheep to those green pastures so that they can eat. And the sheep have to solely depend upon the shepherd. And so your life, if we have the heart of God, the sheep are solely dependent upon you because they are trusting the God that's within you. Now, I'm not saying that you are the God to them, but they are seeing you in that position. We have to get to a place in the body of Christ where we uphold the integrity of any and all offices, especially when it comes to the bride of Christ. And so if his bride is seeing you as their God, you probably ought to do some fasting and praying and asking the Lord to kill any flesh in you that will rise above, that will get their eyes off of him and put it onto you. You see what I mean? And so we don't want illegitimate love affairs happening between the pastors as well as Christ's bride. The bride belongs to Christ. It is his wife, and he is coming back for his wife. He made it very clear in the Old Testament, he is a jealous God, and no one wants to be in the hands of an angry God. So remember that as you are moving forward, tending to the bride of Christ. Any questions, any concerns? I'm hoping I didn't get cut off. Oh, okay.
No, you didn't get cut off.
Oh, I was so quiet. I was like, man.
Yeah, they do.
But, yeah, any questions, any concerns? Any questions, any concerns? Definitely. And once again, it's just, you know, study. There are books out there that you can read. There's the Bible. You know, you get your Strong's Concordance. Learn to search. Learn to study. Learn to be good students, good disciples of the Word, so that you can rightly divide, so that you will not be persuaded by any other, but you can stand on the truth. And because that's what it's really all about.
Amen.
You have to have a heart for that bride. Or that
Amen.
Area that you are called into.
Amen. And also, I would like to remind our pastor. Yes. Yes.
I was going to ask a question.
Yes.
Escape me that quick. My question was about if the person feels like this is not exactly where they're at or what they're doing. who is the, I guess, the accountability to the pastor to help them or to ensure that they are executing their office as need be. You talk about the sheep trusting in the shepherd, but I know in today's day we talk a lot about accountability. So what is the accountability for the shepherd ensuring that he or she carries out their office well?
See, and I think that's a beautiful question,
okay.
And which is why, which is, hello, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, officer.
Go.
Oh no, I was gonna say once again. I know we're not just talking about accountability with the AEN, but there is a need for accountability in the body of Christ, and I'm talking about all, and so. Everyone has to be, should be accountable to someone. This is why you have elders. This is why you have ministers. This is why you have all these components within the body that brings the accountability so that even the pastors are not, or the shepherds are not running amok. And I'm not just talking about pastors in charge of churches, if you will. I'm talking about there are pastors within churches. Like, so for example, there's an apostle with Laborers for Christ. And so, and yet there are pastors underneath the apostle. And so, and there's elders, there's bishops, there's a evangelist. And so the accountability is within the body. So, for example, we have a pastor that is a pastor over counseling. Who would be the accountability for her? Well, there's elders that are watching, you know, seeing what's coming in and what's going out. And overseeing certain areas, and yet you have the apostle who is also Holy Spirit is, you know, always revealing to the apostle in that what's going on in the body, so never caught off guard. And so that's where the accountability comes in. Now, the issue that arises is whether that shepherd is going to yield or submit to the teachings of that house. You know, you see what I mean, or who they are accountable to. You see what I mean? And so there's different cases, and I know there's different situations, and then there are some pastors out there who feel they don't need another person over them for whatever reason. Okay, that's fine. Oh, Jesus is, you know, who I'm accountable to. Yeah, okay. And we know where that is going. And so therefore, in cases like that, well, then I'll do what Michael did to Satan. Well, then the Lord rebukes you then. And so, and then we'll allow the Lord to bring the correction that is necessary. And he, and Holy Spirit will definitely do that.
Amen. And I pray that that addressed a concern that you have. I know that it is pervasive throughout the church because of the different structures that we are worshiping under. And so we may have pastors that will be ordained that are they're not over sheep of a four-walled church. They may be of a different type of congregation or audience or group of people that you're providing the oversight for. And so there are so many different unique scenarios, and those are the kinds of things that when we get on site at the conference, we'll go into more specialized answering. These are, in general, basic. And so we will get more in-depth in this. And that's why we're just bringing these things up. So as you have your notebooks with you, you need to be writing these different issues down because they're things that are going to shape your ministry. And so we do want to make sure that they are addressed according to the will of God. And so, as I said, these are some of the things that we'll go into more teaching. It's very difficult on a phone. We have different individuals, 20 or so on a line. Everybody would like to sometimes, and they don't. But we do ask that you send your questions to me so that they can be documented and they can be addressed. So that was a very good question. I appreciate it. All of our pastors that we are ordaining are required to read A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalms. And I believe that that will give you a basic understanding of what God says the heart of the pastor should be and the commitment that he has to make to the sheep. A shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. I believe that will be very helpful in initiating your journey in the office and under the anointing as a pastor. We want to take the last couple of minutes, if we can. If there are no more questions, we would like to ask Elder Dr. Parker is going to come and give us insight into what our consecration is going to look like. And so there's a preparation that we need to have going forward to that. So, Elder Dr. Parker, if you're on the line, and anybody that may have any other questions, just come forth.
Yes.
Remember, there is a slight time delay, and it's okay. Yes.
Yes, I did have a
Hello?
Question. I'm supposed to text the question to you, or can we just ask now? Hello?
I'm sorry, you can ask now.
Oh, I can ask now. When Bishop was presenting, and then in the end when he talked about he would do as the Lord says, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Now, who is Bishop? Who are you referring to he's rebuking? The pastors who are not accepting the call or the people who don't want the pastor over them?
Oh, that's a good question. I was thinking when I made that statement, I was thinking from the aspect of that there are some, I don't want to say sheep, there are some members who disagree with some of the things that their pastor do, and sometimes they want to really, they confront and they feel that the pastor isn't listening to them, and then it just really causes a lot of schisms within the body, which is where you get the eruption of church hurt, people leaving or people coming and going and things like that. That was the mindset that I had. And so because it's, as Overseer was saying, it's hard, I don't want to say it's hard, it's challenging to kind of pinpoint because each ministry or reformation or denomination has a whole different setup and systems. And so, you know, what I would like to do definitely at the conference is as you text questions or submit questions to Overseer, this way we can answer them in more in time and in depth.
Okay.
So that's what
Amen.
I mean. And when I said the Lord rebuke you, just kind of a mental thing like, you know what, I'm going to leave you into the Lord's hands, and I'm going to continue praying for your leader. I was looking at it from a servant's perspective of this is my pastor. I know that God has put me under charge of them, and so if there is an issue going on with them, I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to allow the Lord to deal with them. I'm pray for my leader. I'm going to keep my leader lifted up before God, and so that this way the body of Christ is not affected or hurt.
Okay.
Amen. 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 And I believe with that last statement, we see that the question or his comment about leaving it up to the Lord, it goes to the shepherd as well as the sheep. That's the ultimate accountability partner. And Holy Spirit will do it because that's part of his ministry in our life, whether you're a sheep or a shepherd. Okay? Praise the Lord. Good, good, good session. Elder Dr. Parker?
I will defer to next week.
Okay. Okay. All right. So she will be coming on first next week. She will be our first presenter. Well, after our 7:30 hour, for the 7:30 hour, she'll be the first presenter, bringing us insight into our coming consecration. And the next office that we will be looking at will be the office of the evangelist and the minister. And that will be brought next week, along with we're going to look at the crest. What is a crest? And what should you be thinking about it? What does it represent? And how it is going to be a part, I am sure, of your ministry. It represents you. We will also have Elder Dr. Parker share with us how she came up with her crest. So it is for, you don't necessarily have to have a church, but individuals with ministries, they have symbols and things that represent their ministries, and they are what you associate with a crest. So we will be sending the crest of the AEN to you on email, and so we ask that you bring that to our phone conference tithe. And so we'll talk about the consecration, the crest. We've had some questions about the relational intimacy questionnaire, so we're going to talk about that, as well as the accountability forms that should be now starting to come in for the last 3 months from our accountability partners as they assess the relationship with their candidate. So if there be nothing further, anybody, any committee member have anything you would like to input, share, bring up? Okay. Bishop, would you close us out in prayer? Oh, did he hang up? Oh, let me make sure Bishop is live. Because sometimes when, oh, look at there. Hello? Okay, Bishop? Alrighty, I don't know if his phone dropped. Is Elder Park on the line? Make sure it's not me. Making sure everybody is live. Take your phones off mute. Share with us. Okay. Sometimes when your phone drops, and that's one of the things you may want to be aware of, and you call back, because everybody is put on live initially, when you call back, then you're on mute, and I'm not aware of it until, you know, we kind of scroll down. So when you have to call back, just shoot me a text saying, I'm back in, put me live, okay? And that will be very helpful for me. So, Bishop, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I got disconnected. My bad.
I saw that. So, would you close us out in prayer?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. You can have a hug, son. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for tonight. We thank you, O God, for the teaching, O God. We thank you, God, for every component that you see fit, O God, in these candidates' lives, O God. God, I thank you for a deeper revelation that you are giving them. Heavenly Father, I thank you, O God, for how you have called and selected them and chosen them for this hour, O God, so that they may be a part of what you are doing, O God, for the body of Christ. God, I thank you, God, that as they are completing their assignments and their paperwork, O God, that they will begin to see the need and the call, O God, that is being that is necessary for the body, O God. It is your desire for every soul to be saved, O God. God, I thank you, O God, for every trial that is coming their way even now, Heavenly Father, that is strengthening them and allowing them to be persuaded by faith, O God, so that they can give an answer at any time, O God. God, I pray, O God, for every pastor and elder minister, O God, and evangelist, O God, that would yield themselves to this process, O God, because they hear the beckoning call, O God, that you are calling individuals, O God, in this hour. O God, the enemy is busy, O God, and oh God, we don't fear, oh God, anything, oh God, because we know we have you. And so, God, continue to bless, oh God, the visionary, oh God, over this ministry and the ministry, oh God. God, I pray, oh God, that we will set aside ourselves, oh God, that we would get into more fasting and praying, oh God, not out of guilt, oh God, but to kill the flesh that lies within, that is keeping us, oh God, from obtaining where you are calling us to be. You told us to come up hither. And so therefore, oh God, whatever's blocking us, oh God, we thank you, oh God, that you are removing it even now, oh God. God, I ask for traveling mercies and grace for those who may be traveling and working, oh God. I pray for every individual who is frustrated, oh God, even at their job, oh God. I thank you for that frustration, oh God, because it will make them question you about their purpose, oh God. God, I pray that you will reveal to them, oh God, how you see them, oh Heavenly Father. God, I pray that we get to a place where we trust you and not fleece you at all, oh God, but just walk, oh God, accordingly and abundantly in all that you have for us, oh God. And so, God, you give them rest, oh God, and you allow them, oh God, to do what is necessary during this time. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Yes, I know you did, son.
Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord's name. Get your paperwork in.